Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10. Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, text number 30. So, the rest of this chapter, practically, most of it is just very short verses with little or no purpose to it. So we might, for some reason, well, the next chapter after this is, well, we get back into purports again, but this is mostly story right now, or prayer, or whatever. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maivam Vibho Suranam Te, Pradeya Padma Sambhava, Parakura Nisarganam, Abhinam Amritam Yata. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Supreme Personality of God had replied to Brahma. Ma, do not. Evam, thus. Vibho, O great person. Asuranam, unto the demons, te, by you, pradaya, bestow benedictions, padma sambhava, O Lord Brahma, born from the lotus flower, vara, benediction, kura nisarganam, persons who are by nature very cruel and jealous. Ahinam, to snakes. Amritam, nectar or milk. Yata, just as. Personality of Godhead replied, my dear Brahma, O great Lord, born from the lotus flower, just as it's dangerous to feed milk to a snake. Anyone ever feed milk to a snake here? It's not very common around here. What's that?
Snakes are vegan. Yeah.
Forbidden.
Vegan.
Vegan. Oh, God. Even the snakes are misdirected here. So it is dangerous to give benedictions to demons who are by nature furious and jealous. Ferocious, actually. Ferocious and jealous. I warn you not to give such benedictions to any demon again. Narada Muni continued, O King Yudhisthira, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not visible to an ordinary human being, spoke in this way, instructing Lord Brahma. Then being worshipped by Brahma, the Lord disappeared from that place. Prahlad Maharaj then worshipped and offered prayers to all the demigods, such as Brahma, Shiva, and the Prajapatis, were all parts of the Lord. Thereafter, along with Sukracharya and other great saints, Lord Brahma, whose seat is on the lotus flower, made Prahlad the king of all the demons and giants in the universe. Purport. By the grace of Lord Narsingadev, Prahlad Maharaj became a greater king than his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad's inauguration was performed by Lord Brahma in the presence of all other saintly persons and demigods. O King Yudhisthira, after all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma were properly worshipped by Prahlad Maharaj, they offered Prahlad their utmost benedictions and then returned to their respective abodes. Thus, the two associates of Lord Vishnu, who had become Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, the sons of Diti, were both killed. By illusion, they had thought that the Supreme Lord, who was situated in everyone's heart, was their enemy. Purport. The discourse concerning Lord Narsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj began when Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Narada how Shishupal had merged into the body of Krishna. Shishupal and Dandavakra were the same Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Here Narada Muni is relating how in the three different births, the associates of Lord Vishnu were killed by Lord Vishnu himself. First, they were the demons Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Being cursed by the Brahmins, the same two associates took birth again as Kumbhakarna and the ten-headed Ravana. These two Rakshasas were killed by Lord Ramachandra's extraordinary power. That will be in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Pierced by the arrows of Lord Ramachandra, both Kumbhakarna and Ravana lay on the ground and left their bodies, fully absorbed in thought of the Lord, just as they had in their previous births as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They both took birth again in the human societies, Shushupal and Dantavakra, and continued in the same enmity toward the Lord. It is they who merged into the body of the Lord in your presence. Vairanu Bandena, acting like Lord, the Lord's enemy, is also beneficial for the living entity. Kama, Dvesha, Bayat, Sneha. Whether in lusty desires, anger, fear, or envy of the Lord, somehow or another, as recommended by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, tasmat kenap yupayena. One should become attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and ultimately achieve the goal of returning home back to Godhead. Thus, what then is to be said of one who is related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover? So these are general instructions. Because we find that simply by being killed by the Lord is not sufficient to guarantee anything successful. It also depends upon our consciousness. Because when Hiranyakashipu was killed by Nrisimhadev, he thought Nrisimhadev was just an ordinary person. And therefore he had to take birth again as Ravana. Similarly, Hiranyaksha thought that Lord Varaha was just an animal. And therefore he had to take birth as Kumbhakarna. And so on. When Ravana was killed, he also didn't understand who Lord Ramachandra was. He thought he was a human being. And therefore he had to take birth as Shishupal. Similarly, Dantavakra had to take birth as Shishupal and who did he take birth? What is that? Oh, yeah. So there's a new, yeah, Shishupal and Dantavakra. Similarly, it is not really recommended to be an enmity against Krishna, because we find that someone like King Vena, he is also envious of Krishna. And he was killed by the Brahmins. But did he go back to Godhead or even take an auspicious birth? Or he went to hell. So that's not exactly an auspicious place to go to, is hell. So if you're in enmity against God, which practically the entire universe is against Krishna. What to speak against Krishna? They're not only just envious of Krishna, they're envious of anything that moves. Even a little ant in their house, they're envious of the ant. That you're taking up room in my house, in my house. You can't live here in my house. So what to speak of being envious of God? They're envious of being a little ant. Therefore, most people, when they leave their body, being envious of God, envious of all living entities, do not achieve auspicious situations. On the other hand, if that enmity is so intense, as in the case of Kamsa or Hiranyaka or the other demons that are mentioned, Shishupal, Dantavakra, whatever, it was such intense enmity, but they had personal association with Krishna. They were actually able to think about Krishna with intensity. Most people don't know anything about Krishna. Therefore, when they leave their body, they're thinking of something else, and they get that result. But if you're intently absorbed in Krishna consciousness, such as Kamsa, then there is some auspiciousness there in terms of becoming free from material contamination. But for the devotee, Kaivalya Narakayate, Tridasha Pur Akasha Pushpayate. For the devotee, going to Brahman is worse than going to hell. Because at least you're in hell, you can think about Krishna. But if you're in Brahman, you can't think about anything. Therefore, it's certainly not recommended to think about Krishna with animosity. Unless you can think about Krishna with such animosity that you actually become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and then at least you'll become purified from material contamination. But merging Brahman is not recommended because you'll waste so much time in Brahman. And if you fall back to the earth planet at the end of Kali Yuga, then you're really in difficulty. How inauspicious. You waste your time in Brahman for an innumerable amount of time, and when you come back, there's little people running around trying to eat you. Very difficult situation. But to demonstrate the potency of thinking about Krishna, therefore there's some glorification of even the demons when they think about Krishna. But the ultimate purpose is not to become a demon and think about Krishna and merge in Brahman. The actual purport is we should think about Krishna. How much more auspicious will be that will be if we're doing it in a favorable mood. Therefore, for the devotees, for the dvitsatsu, those who are envious, there's upeksha. We don't associate with demons, with people who are envious of Krishna. Sometimes, for the sake of preaching, if one is a very empowered preacher, then one may associate with demons for the sake of trying to convert them to become devotees. But generally speaking, real demons will never become devotees. Those were asuras. Tanaham dvishita kuran samsreshu naradamam shi pramyaja samashubam asri shveva yonishu. That those who are envious, who are the mischievous, who are the lowest among mankind, I perpetually cast them into the demoniac species of life. Asram yonam apanam muda janmani janmani mava prapyaiva kondiya tato yantyaramam gitim. Attaining such births in such species of life, they gradually sink down to the most abominable type of existence. Therefore, they never can obtain me. Those who are actually convinced that lust, anger, and greed are good and should be cultivated very carefully, they never approach Krishna. They're usually divided into four classes of people, which in English would be the foolish, the lowest among men, those who are deceitful, those who are foolish, the lowest among mankind, the deceitful, and those who are envious. They never approach Krishna. Because they're absorbed in lust, anger, and greed. They may have elevated themselves through some austerity to come to a higher platform, but ultimately they can't give up their false ego. And because they can't give up their false ego, even if they elevate themselves to Brahman, they'll fall down. What to speak of elevating themselves to a Brahminical standard, still, even on that standard, if they keep their enviousness against Krishna, they're called Maya Priti Asram Bhava Mashvityas, they'll fall down also. Therefore, I want you to try to cultivate Krishna consciousness in a favorable way, And the only way of doing that is giving up lust, anger, and greed. Trivida narakasyadam dwaram nashtam atmanaha kama krota tatalobas tasmat etam trayam chajat. There are three gates leading to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give them up because they lead to the degradation of the self. Etera vimukta kontiya tabo dwaras trivira nara achara itimas shreyas tatoyiti paramgati. That anyone who can give up these three gates, performs activities which are conducive to self-realization, and thus they approach the supreme destination. So how do we give them up? How do we give up lust, anger, and greed? We just say, today I'm not going to be lusty. Even if I see the most beautiful woman, I'll just spit at her. And then if she spits me back, we'll get into a fight. So is that the process? Easy process. No, Krishna says, Yakshastra vidim ustrija vartate kamakarata visasudim avapnoti nasukam naparam gitim. That one who gives up scripture and acts whimsically attains neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. So what's the secret? Yakshastra vidim ustrija vartate kamakarata Sasidim avapnoti nasukam na param gitim. One should know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of Shastra, and knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become purified. So we have to learn Shastra. We have to know the scriptures. That's why Prabhupada spent so much time writing the books. Not so we can sell them and get some money so we can offer some prasadam to the deities. That wasn't the idea. No, the idea is to act, our lives are supposed to be based on Shastra. Of course, Shastra is very simple. The ultimate message is very simple. But we're not so simple. Therefore, we have to disentangle our complicated consciousness by understanding thoroughly Shastra. Otherwise, if one can accept the essence of Shastra and surrender to Krishna, then everything will become simple. But we don't want to surrender to Krishna so easily. We have to become convinced that there is a Krishna, that he actually is in control of everything, and that it's in my benefit to follow his instructions. We have to go through the process generally of karma yoga and jnana yoga and even a little bit of astanga yoga in order to actually surrender to Krishna. Because we're working subconsciously on the karma and the jnana platform. Because Prabhupada wanted us to be encouraged, so he called us devotees all the time. The question is what we're devoted to. Without becoming actually conscious of Krishna, then it's impossible to be devoted to Krishna. But if we follow Krishna's instructions, then Krishna becomes pleased. As a matter of fact, the more difficult it is to follow Krishna's instructions, and the more we make an effort to do so, the more pleased Krishna becomes. We shouldn't think, oh, Krishna is pleased, and therefore I have a happy, peaceful life. By the mercy of God, he's not causing me any problems in this world, so I must be getting the mercy of God. Now, actually, the mercy of God will come when we're put into great difficulty, and we try, at least, to take shelter of Krishna. The more difficulty it is, the more we try to take shelter of Krishna, the more Krishna can reciprocate with us. It's not a mechanical process. It's based upon desire. And desire is, there's different intensities of desire. It's not, yeah, sure, Krishna, I want to go back to God. And then Krishna immediately sends the airplane and says, you know, how long do you want to stay here? 2 weeks. All right, I'll send you back in 2 weeks. No one has to develop the desire to obtain Krishna, and the only way we can do that is give up our desire for the material energy. But we can't give up our desire to material energy if things are going too well here. Why should we want to leave this place we think we're enjoying? And in the right mind, want to leave a place when they think they're enjoying? As I gave the example in Denmark, the prisons are so nice there that the prisoners, they'd rather not leave the place. They have their own room, the prisoners, with their television and their refrigerator and whatever else they want. So one time, a true story, one man, they were having a barbecue because they have regular barbecues in the prison. So they're good barbecues. So all the prisoners were having the barbecue. And one of the prisoners' brother decided he'd free his brother from the prison. So he flew in a helicopter into the prison. He tried to get his brother on the helicopter so they could fly out. But the brother refused. He said, they were having the barbecue. He came at the wrong time. I'm not leaving. Wait a couple hours. When the barbecue's done, maybe I'll hop on, but not now. So if one is thinking, I'm enjoying, one will stop enjoying. Therefore, it's practically impossible for the demigods to make any spiritual advancement, because they're actually, compared to us, relatively, they are enjoying long duration of life, senses that can enjoy sense gratification hundreds and thousands of times more than we can. So they don't want to leave the material world. They want to stay here. Maybe some sages in the heavenly planets are doing some austerity to elevate themselves further, but that's not very common either. Therefore, a little problem here is a good thing. And a lot of problem, if we can take shelter of Krishna, that's even better. But a lot of problems generally means that we give up Krishna, we go home to mommy. Mommy, help me. They've done studies where they have the pilots, when the plane is about to crash, they have this black box that records everything. And they find out what is the last words of the pilots before the airplane crashes. And many times the pilots are calling out, Mommy! Mommy doesn't come and save them, though. Therefore, a little problems and taking shelter of Krishna goes a long way. Without problems, it's very, very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. But luckily in Kali Yuga, we don't have to pray for problems like Queen Kunti did. Every day is simply a problem. They come one after another. And if you don't think you're having problems, just wait around. Krishna will send a few in case you're missing problems. But the idea is if we hear and chant about Krishna and we understand that Krishna is the only shelter and we can find out how to take shelter of Krishna through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then we may take advantage of this miserable condition in Kali Yuga. If anyone has not noticed, by the way, things are getting a lot worse lately. And if you think, we'll go back to the normal again, we'll all enjoy, there'll be, you know, spring and we'll be out playing frisbee in the park. Good luck. People's sinful activities, they get sinful reactions. And therefore, they can expect big, big problems in the future. Before World War I, people were sinful. But relatively, there was, you know, relatively much less intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling. People were relatively restrained. And yet they had this war and this pestilence that wiped out hundreds of millions of people. And then World War II came along because people became even more sinful. And therefore there was an even bigger reaction in World War II. And that reaction has been going on since World War II. There's one war everywhere in the world, there's practically some war going on. So do we think that this Western world, America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, which are more or less the propagating sinful activities around the world, propagating violence, that we're going to be exempt from this? World War II didn't exempt the Europeans and the Americans, nor did World War I. And why, if we became more sinful, now we're going to get a free pass? Forget it. We're just beginning to see what's happening. But for the devotees, they can take advantage of it, because when people are in distress, then there's much more likely they'll take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, if they think they're enjoying that civilization is progressing, they're going to get cars that float in the air, that drive themselves. They're going to get, you know, connected to the internet. You can go to sleep at night and just watch whatever movie you want in your dreams. You'll have an implant. You just go to the nearest computer and you download for the night 50 movies you want to watch in your dream. Good luck. It's not the way things are going to go. Anyhow, thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Maharaj. Somehow, I see young people, they just don't study so much anymore that they used, or maybe, I don't know how, I know in my days, but even devotees, I can see, we are not, Prabhupada said we should study his books, not just read. But somehow or other, we study less and less, so what's our, how can we, I mean, we do read books, but probably not, we don't study them so much as we should study them.
Well, we should do devotional service. Then we'll get the, hopefully by whatever we are able to understand from the books, if we apply it, hopefully we'll become purified. And then we'll understand the value of the books a little bit more. That they're none different from Krishna. Unless we experience what's in the book, why will we read it? And unless we learn how to experience it, then how can we experience it? So it's not just reading the books, it's learning how to read the books. So we actually can experience that from it. And part of that is to not only hear the books to the best we can, but try to see what they're saying. Make an effort to use our intelligence to see what the books are saying. And what it means personally to me. What am I supposed to do? What is Krishna talking to me to do? And then apply that within my life. And then Krishna will be pleased. And he'll reveal not only himself, but he'll reveal himself in the books also. And the books will actually hear Krishna talking to us through the books more clearly. So Krishna has to be pleased by our actually following the books, in the process of following the books, and therefore he'll make himself, will become more and more conscious of Krishna. Not only when we chant the holy names, but when we read the books or when we see the deities, everything will become more conscious. We'll become more conscious. Then we'll see it's all positive, it's all loving, devotional, and then we'll become attached to it. This book will be non-different from Krishna, our best friend. And everything is just a book, and there's some words in it, and some philosophy, and who cares, you know. I got more practical things to do. And we won't realize it's our best friend talking to us, trying to help us. Okay. Anything else? Okay, Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.